Well, most Sundays in the church year are devoted to stories from the Bible. In fact, they're often named for those stories. So, for instance, last Sunday was Pentecost. It's the story of the Holy Spirit coming upon and filling the followers of Jesus and empowering them in their life of following Jesus and sharing this life with others. Before that, we had Easter Sunday and the whole season of Easter, which was all about the story of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and how we in Christ are part of that new life. And Sunday after Sunday, we hear stories from the Bible because the story of God's saving work in the world, the story of God's life-giving presence, that story is our story. So most Sundays in the church year are devoted to a Bible story, but there are two Sundays that are devoted not so much to a story, but to what we would call a doctrine. Now, one is the last Sunday of the church year in November. It's called Christ the King Sunday. And the other is today's Feast of the Holy Trinity. Now, there is a lot we could say about the mystery and the majesty of the Trinity. And those things we could say about the Trinity, those things that we say about the Trinity, are what we mean by doctrine. And at its best, doctrine is a word of good news that connects us with something larger than ourselves. In those moments when we are tempted by individualism, doctrine connects us with a whole community. We are joined together with one another around the world and through time. Doctrine is the faithful witness of so many who have come before us. Their witness is a reminder of the gift of grace that we have been given. Their witness encourages us in the face of struggle. Their witness, this doctrine, keeps us steadfast in the face of division. The witness of those who have come before us speaks a word of hope into the real challenges of our life. And so doctrine is good and necessary, but it has its limits. Namely, while some of us may geek out on doctrine, some of us may love doctrine, but doctrine will never love us back. And so, today's Feast of the Holy Trinity is an opportunity not only to speak about the Trinity, but to get caught up in the life of the Trinity. Because the Trinity, the God we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by its definition, the Trinity is a relationship. Who God is a relationship. And it is a relationship that God wants us to be part of. This relationship marked by the love that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have for one another and live out together in a joyful dance. And through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is this life, this joy, this love into which God is drawing us ever deeper. The joyful life of love that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share, this joyful life of love is the life that truly is life. But the world wants to convince us that there is another way. The world wants to convince us that it has the life we are seeking. The world wants to convince us that what it is selling is true. And so where does the world tell us that life is found? Does the world tell us that life is found in being more vulnerable, in opening ourselves up more deeply to relationships of mutual love and joy? Well, no, the world pushes us to compete with one another. The world pushes division. The world pushes us to isolate ourselves from one another and seek not relationships, but to seek more and more money and more power and more beauty and more likes, right? More and more security, more and more control. But these are not where life is found. None of these are secure. And yet I know the allure is strong. Right? We want to believe this is where life is found. Because maybe it seems easier to seek these things than to seek what is actually lasting. And what other voices are there? What other lies do we believe? Well, we believe the lie that what is true is our depression, or that what is true is our anxiety, or that what is true is our illness. And we get so focused on these things, we turn inward on ourselves that they become the only things that we can see. So they must be true. Or becoming so overwhelmed, not knowing where to find the truth, we settle for fantasy. We don't really believe we will find the life that we are looking for in drugs or in alcohol or in porn or in all of the ways that we plug ourselves in. But maybe when faced with the world's version of truth and life, maybe we think there's no harm in hiding in the fantasy for a while. But of course, these things are quite the opposite of no harm. These things rewire us, and the fantasy takes over. So many of us are gripped by the life that isn't life at all. And we are so caught up in it that we just can't see that there's another way. Or maybe we can see it. But we have been living this kind of life for so long, and we know that it is killing us. It's clever. The enemy has us taking our own lives, but we can't seem to stop. And in all of these, we miss the actual life that God has for us. It is the life of the Trinity. It is the life of true joy and true love. It is the life not of isolation and keeping people at a distance and keeping up appearances, but the life of being vulnerable as we are opened to real relationships. Life in God's presence is the life that is true and deep and full and secure. Isn't this what we actually want? Well, here's the question to reflect on this week. If we are honest with ourselves, what is the life you desire? And that word desire is important because God is less interested in behaviors and more interested in desires. And so the question is, what is it that your heart longs for? What do you desire? What do you long for? One of my favorite books is The Little Prince. I've talked about it before in here. It's an adult fable about a boy, the eponymous prince, who lives alone on asteroid B612 along with three volcanoes, two active and one extinct, and a rose whom he loves. And the book is full of so many memorable scenes as the little prince explores the universe and how people make sense of their place in the universe. Well, one day on Earth, the little prince encounters a merchant who sold pills. Now, the pills could stand for any of the distractions, any of the temptations that we have been talking about. The pill could stand for any of the untruths we swallow. In this case, the pills had been invented to quench thirst. You need only swallow one pill a week, and you would feel no need for anything to drink. Well, why are you selling those? Asked the little prince. Because they save a tremendous amount of time, said the merchant. Computations have been made by experts. With these pills, you save 53 minutes a week. The little prince asked, and what do I do with those 53 minutes? The reply, anything you like. Well, the little prince said to himself, if I had 53 minutes to spend as I liked, I should walk at my leisure toward a spring of fresh water. What is it that you long for? Is it a pill? Or is it a spring of fresh water? Is what you desire a facsimile of life? Or is it life itself? There is just one place to find this life, this joy, this love, this spring of living water. It is in the embrace of the triune God. And because God loves you, it is for this embrace, it is for this relationship that God is right now shaping your desires. Amen.